You are listening to the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with Aqua Alex. On the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, any and everything tropical fish and aquariums will be discussed. From freshwater to saltwater, cichlids to clownfish, Aqua Alex has you covered. What tropical fish topic is up for discussion today? Let's find out. Aqua Alex, take it away.
Hello, fish keepers, and welcome to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I'm your host, Aqua Alex Cardinelli. Welcome to the very first archived episode replay of my former fishkeeping podcast, Aquatic Wetline. On today's replay, I am replaying the Aquatic Wetline special, Monster Fish Keepers Hour, River Giants Rehoming Sanctuary. Now, people from all over the world, fish keepers from all over the world, purchase monster fish like pacu, red-tail catfish, tiger shovelnose, and even armored puma. Now, the United States is lucky to have places like predatory fins in Florida and Ohio Fish Rescue to rescue these monstrous fish. But what about other parts of the world? Are there sanctuaries and rescues in other parts of the world? Well, there is one in the United Kingdom, based out of Maidstone in Kent, United Kingdom. There is a monster fish rescue in Maidstone in Kent, United Kingdom. All right, enough talk. I'm going to let you hear the episode of Aquatic Wetline where I, Aqua Alex Cardinelli, and my good friend James Jones interviewed the owner of this sanctuary. So let's learn about River Giants based out of the United Kingdom.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of the Aquatic Wetline online radio tonight. I'm your host, Aqua Alex.
And I'm your co-host, Crayfish Man James.
Tonight we invite you to our wonderful Monster Fish special tonight here on the Aquatic Wetline. And we have a very special guest coming on to talk about Monster Fish and its wonderful Monster Fish Rehoming program that he has going on in the United Kingdom. So we are very happy to support the River Giants from United Kingdom. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome in the owner and supporter of River Giants, Mr. Nathan Baisley. Welcome to the show, Nathan.
Hi, thank you. Welcome. Thank you for inviting me on to talk about our project.
I'm looking forward to it. I know you have a very interested in fish, and I know this is a very good program that the United States doesn't do, so hopefully our United States government's going to listen to this so that they can get some idea of doing it for us.
That'd be absolutely fantastic. There's a lot of help needed all around the world for large fish.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Yes, it is, and that's one of the reasons I'm excited for this show, because I love the monster fish, but just not capable of having a tank big enough to support them. So this show is very, very, very dear to me, and I'm glad to know that someone else is taking it to the next level on protecting these large fish. But I just have a quick question for you to start the show. Can you tell our audience and our listeners how long you've been dealing with monster fish, and what made you want to start protecting them and having a sanctuary for them?
Yeah, I've been involved with monster fish for roughly around 15 years now. I've grown up with fish most of my life, and finally decided to take the plunge about 15 years ago and have a look at some monster fish. And researched into a few types of fish that I'd seen that I liked. And it all went from there, really. And gradually over the years, we've kind of built up a collection in our own private aquarium. And sadly, though, over the years, we're seeing a few people that are seeing the fish in the local fish stores, liking what they see, but not really knowing what the full capacity of the fish is and what that fish is eventually going to grow to be.
Well, that's actually a great way to start today's show, and I'm actually a big fan of monster fish, and I've been looking forward to today's show. Very, very fun show, and I know lots of us love monster fish. So I thought a fun way to start today's Monster Fish Show was to ask everyone on our studio what their favorite monster fish is. So we should do a Monster Fish Roundtable right here on the Aquatic Realm right now. So I'll start, and then we'll have our wonderful guest discuss his favorite, and then we'll have James, our wonderful co-host, discuss his favorite monster fish. Now, for me, I actually have more than one favorite monster fish. I actually have five favorite monsters. Back in 4 years ago, I kept monsters, so it's relatively recent that I have kept monsters. I love almost all monsters, but monster fish have always been a passion for me, but now I can't keep them because I'm limited to a 75-gallon tank. But my first favorite monster fish will always be the red-tailed catfish, a very beautiful catfish that's now seen on river monsters here in the United States. I love the red-tailed catfish. It's a beautiful specimen. Nice fish. Tiger shovelnose is my second favorite river monster. Very nice fish. I love the tiger shovelnoses as well. My third favorite fish would be the freshwater stingrays, also known as the matorial stingrays, and they're very nice as well. My third favorite fish would be the Oscar, and my fourth or fifth would be the Arowanas. Any of the Arowanas fish are my favorite monsters of all time. So, Nathan, what are your favorite monsters of all time?
I've got a few myself, and like you, the red tail and the tiger shovel nose is up the top, but I think my all-time favorite, and I haven't had chance to have one in my possession yet, is the Arapaima.
Nice. The Arapaimas are actually pretty nice. They're actually for sale up here quite a lot in the United States, usually during the spring, so hopefully that'll come to an end pretty soon. But James, what are your favorite monster fish? Oops, we actually lost James for a couple of seconds here, so hopefully James will come back on the air. But I know James, one of James' favorite fish is the African Goliath tiger fish, which is a very beautiful fish that is sown on river monsters. So, James, what are your favorite monster fish?
I'll give you my top five. I'd love to give you my Sports Center top 10, but to keep in sake of time, I'll give you my top five. At five, I have the alligator gar. At four, I have the tiger shovelnose catfish. At three, I have the arowana. At two, I have the stingray as well as what you had, Alex. But my number one favorite monster fish of all time is the Goliath tiger fish. Like I said before, once that fish was seen on river monsters, I had to have the fish. Not knowing that that fish got that big, you know, at the time when I saw it, you know, to seeing a fish that small, I'm like, okay, I'll have it for a while, but not knowing that that fish will outgrow that tank in little than no time, so I had to quickly get rid of it. But the Goliath tiger fish is my favorite all-time monster fish.
It's actually a pretty cool fish, actually quite rare here in Massachusetts, so hopefully I'll see them at least once, but that's actually a pretty cool fish. And our listeners can tell us what their favorite monster fish is by going over to our fan page, Aquatic Wetland Online Radio, using the hashtag favorite monster fish. Let us know what your favorite monster fish is, and we'll be glad to check it out. And I really love to see what your favorite monster fish is. So we have a great show coming your way tonight here on the Aquatic Wetline. Tonight we're going to be talking about river giants. It's actually going to be a very, very fun show. So let's start talking about river giants. And Nathan, how did you start river giants?
Well, we only started it at the beginning of this year. We moved back. We was actually living in Spain, my partner and I. And we moved back, and it's pretty much as soon as we moved back, I got into the fascinating hobby. I've always loved my fish, and I don't like to be without them. And I actually started getting into them. And it was being in touch with a few local groups again that I realized how bad the problem has got over the years with the excess large fish and how fast they're outgrowing the tanks. And I think a lot of that has come from River Monsters, the show on telly, where people are seeing these fascinating fish and going to their local fish stores and seeing, you know, small 2-inch red-tailed catfish, and they like the look of them without actually doing any research into the fish. They get them home, and 6 months later, they're over a foot long, and it's quite frightening. And they just don't really know what to do with it when it gets that big. So hence the reason why we come up with River Giants. You know, we're here to help people through that, and we give them a good home. They stay with us forever. And we're also looking to move into a larger premises at the moment so we can continue upgrading our tanks and our ponds, and to really stock them out.
That is very, very interesting. It was just kind of unknown of seeing something of this magnitude of a project being taking place, because for monster fish, you're going to need a monster room. We're not talking about your 10, your 12-inch, 1-foot fish. We're talking about fishes the size of cars, fish that literally bigger than us. And be able to have space to actually carry these species is very amazing. But I've noticed that on your website, yeah, I spent a lot of time giving awareness not only to the hobbyist but to the seller, to the trader of these monster fish, of the importance of knowing what you're getting your hands into before you get started, that these fish can start off at 1-2 inches, but before you know it, they're tank busters. So can you explain to our listeners a little bit about your philosophy on buying and selling these large monsters?
Yeah, I think pretty much it's all about using your brain. You know, if you're looking at a fish, do your research first, because it's extremely important to do your research, find out about the fish, find out about its natural habitat, what fish it's usually around, what it eats, for example. And, you know, look at how big the fish is going to become. Oh, we actually rescued a red-tailed catfish a little while ago. It's actually a female, we think, which, although they look pretty at 2 or 3 inches, when they get larger, the females get larger than the males. You know, they can grow up to 6 feet long themselves. And because they're the female, they're quite broad as well, you know. So it's about really doing your research. And as for the stockist and the shops, you know, it's just about creating awareness. If somebody you don't think knows too much about the fish, then just make them aware. Maybe put a poster up of a real life, a real size fish in the fish store, so they can see potentially what that fish is going to grow to.
Well said, and you hit the nail right on the head. Research is key when it comes to monster fish, as I've learned from previous experiences, and as I can tell from the story of many poor fish keepers, is I've been tricked into believing that red-tailed catfish and tiger shovelnoses will only grow to the size of the aquarium. What's your take on that common fish store lies that fish will only grow to the size of the aquarium, Nathan?
Yeah, that's a common aquatic myth. We know fish far outgrow the size of most common aquariums, but the problem is with that is they may not outgrow the tank that they're in, or they may not get larger than the tank they're in, but it starts to blow them out of proportion. So it really harms the fish if they're stuck in a small tank, and, you know, it really affects their organs and everything else. So it's really not healthy for the fish.
Well, Senator, I definitely agree with you. And tonight we're here joined by Mr. Nathan, the owner of River Giants, discussing monster fish tonight. So we're going to take a quick commercial break here on the Aquatic Wetland. When we come back from commercial, we have a lot more to discuss about River Giants Free Home and Sanctuary next here on the Aquatic Wetland.
Hikari offers a wide selection of aquatic diets to help you and your fishy friend find success. With more than 137 years of aquatic experience, Hikari was the originator of species-specific diets long before others thought it was important or trendy, and the first to bring unique products to fish keepers like algae wakers, the world's first diet specifically formulated for Picosinus, micropellets, the world's first micro-coated aquatic diet for tropical fish, Saki Hikari, the world's first probiotic-enhanced diet for koi, goldfish, cichlid, and now turtles, and BioPure, the world's cleanest and most nutrition-packed frozen and freeze-dried foods, industry trendsetters when they were first introduced. When you're looking for the best aquatic diets your hard-earned money can buy for your aquatic pets, look no further than Hikari. Your fish and your wallet will be forever grateful.
North Texas Holy Rock, providing the world the finest holy rock, one rock at a time. Satisfaction guaranteed. Whether you're looking for a small single piece or 200 pounds to set up your first MB Una tank, North Texas Holy Rock can provide you what you need. You will not find a company that offers the same level of customer service or an owner who truly enjoys setting up your tank as if it were his own. North Texas Holy Rock also offers all related aquarium supplies and accessories. Find us on the web at ntholyrock.com. That's ntholeyrock.com. North Texas Holy Rock.
Water Quality Science here on the Aquatic Wetline to solve all your aquarium, paludarium, and terrarium needs. I'm able to service any habitat, whether saltwater, freshwater, brackwater, blackwater, snake, amphibian, and so much more. I will work with you so that your biome is what you expect it to be, nothing less than a live work of beauty. You can trust Water Aquatic Biomes to be there for your aquatic emergency, whether it's disease care, that most important wild water quality issue, any environmental concern you may have as well. I master in live plants and offer only the best substrates, stones, designer woods such as Mopane, Malaysian, African, and even Savannah root. Water Aquatic Biomes deals with only the best vendors that Maryland, Virginia, and Pennsylvania has to offer. So if you have anything from that out-of-date cichlid or tetra tank, turtle habitat, or even your kid's goldfish aquarium, and you want something more than just that ordinary box of glass, call World Aquatic Biomes at 410-401-0140. I perform free estimates and put an animal's well-being first before cost. Check me out on Facebook.
You are tuned in to the Aquatic Wetline online radio, hosted by fish keepers for fish keepers.
We'd like to welcome y'all back to the Aquarium Wetline. We're here today talking to Mr. Nathan about a serious problem that we're having in the industry and in the hobby, and what is a black eye to the hobby of monster fish, of not being able to keep them in the home aquarium where they're not suited for, and only a small amount of people out here in the world will be able to have space and have the money to be able to accommodate this large species. But as we talk about a lot of the species, what are some of the species that y'all have at y'all sanctuary now, Nathan?
They range really. When we first opened the sanctuary, the first fish that we kind of took in was a red-tailed catfish. He was about 2 foot in length at the time. And pretty much soon after word started getting out, we're receiving quite a few fish all the time now. And we've got everything from pacu, tiger shovel nose. We have a few gars, giant gouramis. We've even got a few peacock bass in that have just come in as well. So we're getting a few in.
Nice, that's actually pretty cool. So you have mostly all the common species that we have in the United States for monster fish. Pacus are actually pretty interesting. As I can tell, there are actually two species of pacus. You have your red-bellied pacu and your black pacu, and usually it's the black pacu that gets bigger than the red-bellied pacu, which causes the most issues. And, of course, you have your red-tailed catfish and your tiger shovelnose. And a lot down here I find that most of the large fish are usually pacus, red-tailed cats, iris and sharks, or Paganus catfish, things like that. So what are your take on people buying too small of a fish or too big of a fish for a small tank, Nathan?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you guys have the same sort of problem as we do over here in the UK. It's the best, the black pacu, that they get a lot larger than the red-belly pacu. And we're constantly finding them. People are contacting us on Facebook constantly now. Can you help me rehome my pacu? It's got too big for the tank. I didn't realize it was going to get this big. I think, you know, if again, it's going back to using your brain and researching the fish that you're going to get. If you think that it might get too big, I mean, even ask the shopkeeper. You know, just ask for a bit of advice. If you're not too sure your aquarium's big enough, then just ask for advice. Or you know, Google's got plenty of answers. So, you know, just ask for a bit of advice before you actually go ahead and make the decision to get one.
Awesome. So how do you rescue fish? Do you charge for pickup of the fish, and how do you rescue fish from people?
Yeah, no, basically, if it's a local pickup, we'll do it free of charge, but if we have to travel further afield, we'll charge a small amount just to go and pick the fish up. Basically, that's what we do. I mean, we do rely on a lot of donations to help fund the sanctuary that we run in, to help feed the fish, and obviously, we use a hell of a lot of water, so it all helps towards the bills.
Nice. That's actually pretty cool how you guys do it. I'm an MD over here in the United States. I was hoping that the United States would do something like you guys do. Now, in my research of your wonderful rehoming sanctuary, I found that you guys are big supporters of the Big Fish campaign, and I definitely don't know what the Big Fish campaign is, so I'm definitely eager to learn all about it. So can you please explain to me, my co-host, and all of our listeners in detail what the Big Fish campaign is, if you don't mind?
Yeah, sure. Big Fish Campaign, we are big supporters of the Big Fish Campaign. It actually began in 2005, stemming from the problem that the public aquaria were facing, as we talked about earlier. They were being offered constantly unwanted fish that had outgrown aquariums. Now, public aquaria over here in the United Kingdom, they're just getting too fully stocked and they can't continue rehoming these giants, basically. The aim of the Big Fish campaign is to raise, it's more to raise awareness, not to stop the trade of the larger fish, but just to, it's about responsible selling, responsible buying. It's just about raising awareness through every part of the sale or the purchase of the big fish. It's all about just promoting sensible thinking, sensible buying.
Yeah, I had a statement that I loved on your website. I spent a lot of time on your website because it just I still keep saying it over and over. It's intriguing to see someone taking over such a large project of this magnitude. And I saw that y'all stated on your website that this is nothing y'all want to do as far as making awareness that you want a ban on a certain fish, you want more regulation on it. It's the thing of you wanting the hobbyist as well as the seller to know and understand what they're getting themselves into before the government decides to step in and bring in all these political laws, and then we won't be able to carry the fish for those that who are able to carry the fish won't be able to carry it. But where do you see the laws and the government going with this? Because a lot of species are getting banned. A lot of people are releasing fish into the lakes and stuff, and it's causing a problem with the ecosystem. So where do you see that any laws that may be changed in the near future with large monster fish?
Yeah, for sure. I think if we carry on and if we can promote the awareness successfully enough so we can put it into people's heads, you know, that this isn't a fish for, you know, a year or so, or, you know, this fish is going to outgrow your tank, seriously outgrow your tank. So, you know, you do need a big tank or even a pond, for example, over there in the States. You've got some nice weather over there. It's pretty hot, I suppose, most of the time in certain places in the States. And so it's not too hard to build a pond or something in your back garden over there. But over here we face a different aspect. It's cold over here. So if people release large fish over here, you know, they're instantly setting them free. They're you know, sentencing to death. So I think unless we can, as a hobby, as a whole hobby, address the situation of, you know, responsible selling, responsible buying, I think the laws and legislations will change. And I think, you know, it's going to put a stop on certain fish coming onto the market for those of us hobbyists that actually can afford to keep them and can suitably house the fish.
Yes, that is so true. And I don't know if we covered it yet, but with your setups, I noticed, seeing on your website that you say that y'all use a lot of ponds. How are those ponds set up?
We have a few different variations of how they're set up. We're currently just building a new one at the moment. It's only a smaller pond. It's 10 by 5 by 5. It's mainly going to be for probably our red tails and a few pacus to go into. But the problem is we've only just started and we're running out of room already. So we're currently running a funding campaign to help us raise some funds to move into a larger premises. Once we've raised those funds, we're actually going to open our sanctuary to the public. So, you know, the people that can't afford the fish or haven't got the premises to house the fish, they can actually come round and see them in an environment that suits them and that the fish are totally comfortable with living in. It's actually going to be set up exactly as it would be in their natural habitat.
Is there a quarantine cycle that y'all put these fish through before they're put into their permanent home, or are all these fish just housed separately?
No, certainly. They all go into quarantine as soon as we receive them. They'll go into a quarantine and they'll stay there just so we know that fish is okay. If it needs any treatment, I mean, some of the fish that come to us have had their fins nipped and a few scratches and lumps and bumps. So we just treat the fish, make sure it's nice and healthy, there's no disease, and then we will actually put the fish in with other fish as well. So quarantine is a big thing for us, just to make sure that fish is safe to go in with the others.
Yeah, I know y'all were just getting started and probably haven't even ran into this problem yet, but do y'all have a protocol in case these fish start to breeding and have babies and just become a population type thing?
We haven't come across that yet. We haven't put any plans in place at the moment, but as soon as we do move into the larger premises, we are gonna address that situation. We'll have a separate part of the actual sanctuary that we'll be using for anything that does happen, if it does happen.
Yes, because I noticed on your website that y'all don't adopt none of these fish or species back out. Once they're in your hands, that they stay in your hands. I love the little program that you got that you can log in and watch your fish that you donated grow and watch the progressive on how big this fish can actually get. I love that. I guess my question was pertaining that won't it become a thing that it becomes overpopulated, that it won't be a place for them, or do y'all have anything in line that y'all will do something else with the babies?
Yeah, I mean, with the babies, we haven't got nothing in place, as I said, at the moment. But we are looking into different avenues of what we could actually possibly do with regards to conservation of the babies. So we're just going to see how it goes for now. I mean, we're safe as we are at the moment, but maybe look at putting those fish possibly back into their natural habitat.
Okay, and quickly before we go into our commercial break, can you explain your daily routine at the sanctuary? Because I run a fish company where I specialize in crayfish, and my days are pretty much normal, that I feed the fish, make sure everybody is alive, and make sure the water quality is pretty good, and I'm done for the day. But to deal with such large species, what is your general day in the sanctuary?
Our general day, it isn't much different than what yours would be, in all fairness. Again, constant water quality checks, check everyone's okay. There's not been, you know, any aggressiveness in the tanks. We don't feed every day. We feed kind of pretty much every other day. That usually takes up about an hour or so to actually feed the fish alone. And the rest of the day is just kind of taking care of them, making sure that they're okay. I mean, they're happy in their environments. They're much happier than when they come to us. And they're actually starting to, they settle in. They actually do form a bond with the other fish that are in the ponds and the tanks themselves. So it's actually really nice. And And as you say, when we've got the forum where you can come on and actually watch your fish grow, people are actually commenting saying how nice it is that their fish are looking healthy and, you know, they're really well looked after.
That sounds actually sounds great, and I'm having a good time listening to you talk about your River Giants Realm Sanctuary and about monster fish. So this is a great show thus far, and we're going to take our second commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the River Giants Realm Sanctuary. This is a blast today. I'm glad we did a show like this. So we're back with more of the River Giants Realm Sanctuary after this commercial from our wonderful sponsors.
Interban Tropical Fish is proud to partner with the Aquatic Wetline Online Radio. Ichiban Tropical Fish brings to you exotic and rare tropical fish shipped straight to your door. Stingrays, datnoids, peacock bass, arowanas, and much more. If you are into rare and exotic fish, we have the fish just for you. For more information, check out our website, ichibantropical.com, and also check us out on Monster Fish Keepers, Ichiban Tropical Fish.
DMV Aquatics is a proud sponsor of the Aquatic Wetline online radio show. After the show, stop by dmvaquatics.com where we offer top-of-the-line crayfish at rock-bottom prices. We also provide information and tools to help you become a crayfish king. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Today's show is brought to you today by Zola's Healthy Fish, all natural preservatives, free fish, food, and supplies. Show your fish some love by feeding them nothing but the best. Visit us at zolashealthyfish.com and find us on Facebook. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Hikari offers a wide selection of aquatic diets to help you and your fishy friend find success. With more than 137 years of aquatic experience, Hikari was the originator of species-specific diets long before others thought it was important or trendy, and the first to bring unique products to fish keepers like algae wafers, the world's first diet specifically formulated for Picosinus, micro pellets, the world's first micro-coated aquatic diet for tropical fish, Saki Hikari, the world's first probiotic-enhanced diet for koi, goldfish, cichlid, and now turtles, and BioPure, the world's cleanest and most nutrition-packed frozen and freeze-dried foods, industry trendsetters when they were first introduced. When you're looking for the best aquatic diets your hard-earned money can buy for your aquatic pets, look no further than Hikari. Your fish and your wallet will be forever grateful.
You are tuned in to the Aquatic Wetline online radio, hosted by fish keepers for fish keepers.
Okay, we're back here on the Aquatic Wetline, and today Aqua Alex and Crayfish Man James are joined by Mr. Nathan Presley from River Giants Realm Sanctuary from the United Kingdom. We definitely want to thank Nathan for joining us from all the way in the United Kingdom. But we've been discussing river monsters and river fish that get way too big for large aquariums, also known as monster fish. And we discussed how they're housed in the River Giants Roaming Sanctuary, which has been masterful so far that I have learned. Now, the question I have for you, Nathan, what is your advice to people who want to rehome monster fish that are too big for their aquarium? What would be your advice to people who have fish that are just way too big, but they don't know what to do with them? What would be your advice to that, Nathan?
Yeah, I mean, my advice to anybody that's maybe looking at rehoming a large fish or it's inevitable that they're going to be having to do that soon is, you know, get on the internet. Try and find a rehoming service. I know there's lots of rehoming service, especially in the UK, for smaller fish. But just try and find someone that, you know, will look after them. One thing that we make sure that we don't do, and a few people have asked us in the past, can we take the fish off of you? And, you know, our answer is no. Once we rehome the fish at River Giants, they stay with us. They're solely ours. So we know that we're maintaining a healthy life for the fish. So, I mean, if anybody in the UK needs to rehome a fish, just jump onto the website. look at our website and, you know, give us a call and we'll talk about a whole rehoming process for you.
Sounds great. And I know in the United States that most fish stores will actually rehome some fish, depending on the size and if they have room for the fish. But the most important thing you need to realize is to do research. That way you don't have to be stuck with these large fish. And the worst thing to do in the United States if you have a large fish is to dump them inside a pond. But you can avoid having a monster fish in your hand by simply doing lots and lots of research. Research is very key. We stress that very much here on the aquatic wetlands. So always make sure to do research, especially when dealing with larger fish. And definitely don't believe any of the lies that the fish store employees are telling you about, say, a red-tailed catfish or pacu or an iridescent shark, because they're lying just to make a profit. So always keep that in mind. Now,
yeah.
My next question for you, Nathan, and that would be, what would your advice to people who want to buy monster fish, or wants to get monster fish? What would your advice be for that?
Yeah, anybody that wants to maybe purchase or have some kind of monster fish, fantastic. They're brilliant fish. They're fantastic fish to watch them grow, and their mannerisms, everything about all of the monster fish is absolutely fantastic. But you just need to make sure you do your research. I mean, red-tailed cats, they grow extremely quick, extremely large. So a lot of the other larger species. There's plenty of other monster fish that don't grow as big, such as some of the arowanas, some of the peacock bass. You know, there are fish, monster fish out there that don't grow as big and don't need a larger aquarium.
Such as the Oscar Sickle, which is a personal favorite monster of mine. If you really want a monster fish, you can definitely check out the Oscar cichlid, which is a very, very beautiful fish. And we just did a Species Saturday show on the Oscar cichlid, so definitely do some research on them. You probably have one in a 75-gallon or maybe a couple in a 55-gallon, I mean, a couple in a 125-gallon aquarium. Now, where is River Giant's rehoming sanctuary located, actually, inside the United Kingdom?
We're actually down in Maidstone in Kent, which is in southern England.
Awesome. And pretty soon you'll be open for, like, almost like a museum or a zoo kind of thing?
Yeah, that's kind of what the long-term goal is, to open kind of almost like a zoo, I suppose, to the public. What we want to aim to do is, again, while we create an awareness about these monster fish, is we're also going to be designing working programs. So we're going to be working with schools and colleges and universities, learning about the fish, learning about their ecosystems in their natural habitats and the different fish that live in the ecosystems. You know, and we're going to actually be explaining all this to the visitors that are coming in and seeing these fish as well.
Yeah, that is very, very important, especially getting over to the younger generation, the next generation of the hobby keepers, because it's going to become a thing that if we keep destroying hobby, then there won't be nothing left for the next generation. That if we're not more aware and take our time with dealing with these different species, because I know a lot of people that want the larger fish because they get so big, and like you, demyth the thing about that a fish won't grow no bigger than its tank. That myth has went around so long and been here forever that it almost became truth. And once people continue to believe a lie, that lie becomes the truth, and it changes the whole game around, because now people, especially your pet stores, that they don't do enough questioning, don't ask you enough questions to see what type of setups that you have at home and what your skill level with keeping fish before they sell you the fish. All they care about is, hey, buy, just buy from us. We will sell you whatever you want, just buy it from us. So it's refreshing to know that there are people out there that do want to take the time to pass this information, because I see that what y'all want to open an aquarium, and not just no normal aquarium. Y'all want to open up a river monster aquarium where you will have all your large species that you don't see in the pet trade, in the pet stores every day at their full size. That will take the intrigueness away. I think I just made up a word right there, though, but to wanting to go get the fish when you can have somewhere to go in order to see the fish that you won't have to worry about keeping it yourself. So I love that aspect about it, about that. And that was one of the things that I wanted to do with my company, was to more of a open up, more of a museum than opening up a pet store. But with that, are you, will you guys be able to support that? Do you have the team in place or the infrastructure in place to handle such a large task?
Yeah. Well, we're putting a team together. We have a small team at the moment. We're looking to put a stronger team together, ready for when we do move into a larger premises. So we've actually got a really good tight team at the moment. We all work really well together. It includes veterinaries and a lot of the people and chemists to look at the water treatments and everything else. So we're actually quite ahead of where we are at the moment in terms of our long-term goal. We're actually quite prepared for what's going to happen. As you were saying, is talking about, you know, creating awareness for the next generation. I think with the Big Fish campaign and creating this awareness, especially for the shopkeepers that are selling the fish, and you know they want to sell their fish, obviously. But this is where there's a very fine line with creating awareness and turning down a sale if you need to turn down a sale. And I think this is where the problem, the actual problem, is being hit on their head, so to speak. You know, do you turn a £100 sale down, or you know, or do you take that £100 sale to cover your bills for that week if you had a tough week? This is where I think we're struggling in the trade with creating the awareness and having the courage to say, well, you know, I don't think you're quite ready for a fish like this.
Yes, because I've noticed that in the hobby that a lot of your sellers now, you have a lot of people that's online selling, so it's no longer having a brick-and-mortar store that these fish has to come from, that you have a lot of people that is at home selling fish. And I found that even when you go to the stores, that the people that own the stores and run the stores don't have a lot of information about the fish. It's just, okay, the fish makes a lot of money. I got the infrastructure to open up a store. I'm going to go do it. What would be the advice you would give to someone that sells fish on how to recognize if a hobbyist is ready or not ready for a large specimen fish?
Yeah, it's quite of a tough question. There's a lot of online sales and things, and, you know, I don't think you can really ultimately tell whether that person is an experienced keeper and is capable of looking after and housing a large fish if they purchase a large fish. I think my advice probably would be to offer the fish, or by all means have pictures. And like I've seen a few websites, you know, have a full description of what the fish is and the potential sizes that it will grow to on the website, rather than just having a picture of a fish and the amount you want for the fish. I think that's the main thing. And possibly put it on as, you know, please contact us for these fish so we can discuss the requirements for the fish.
Yeah, so I know that for a project of this size, that it's all about funding. That funding will determine how fast this program moves. How has y'all fundraising been? What type of fundraisers have y'all had since y'all started to raise some of this money?
We're actually just about to launch a crowdfunding campaign at the moment. We've just created the promo video for River Giant Sanctuary. We're just about to launch that, which is actually going to be our first fundraising campaign, to be honest. We've mainly done it off of our own backs and what money we've had saved up over the years to start off with. And we're gradually now finding that we need to seriously start bringing some funding in to actually fund a lot of the projects. We've been contacted by a local aquarium that have basically said to us, you know, we're constantly getting monster fish offered to us all the time, and, you know, we could probably say two a week that we're getting offered, so we're interested in working with you to help rehome these monsters. So we're going to need a lot of funding coming in very soon.
Yeah, we're just being a universal problem right here. It's not just a problem in the United States or in the UK or in Asia or nowhere like that. It's a worldwide problem in this hobby of not having a place for unwanted large fish. Have you ever gave the thought, I know right now that it's just a narrow focus on getting things accomplished, what you need to do now to take it to the next level, but have you ever sat and daydreamed about taking this program worldwide?
Daydreams, yes. It'd be absolutely fantastic to have something running like this in various different places. You know, that would be a dream of ours to have something set up like that. I'm actually quite surprised that over there in the States there isn't nothing similar to what we're doing.
Yeah, that's kind of sad that up here in the United States you don't have Monster Fish, a company as big as you do, or the Monster Fish Roaming Sanctuary as you do. So it's definitely one of my dreams. If I ever make a lot of money, I can become a millionaire or something, I will definitely be interested in doing that. But since we wanted to support you guys tonight on the Aquatic Wetline, would you mind telling us about your website and all your social media outlets for your wonderful River Giants Roaming Sanctuary?
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, if you want to support us, our website is www.rivergiants.co.uk. You can also find River Giants Group on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn as well.
Sounds great, and I definitely recommend all of our listeners to check out River Giants, their website, because there is lots of wonderful information on there that you can actually learn and learn how big these monster fish get as well, so that you won't be stuck with a magnificent monster that's going to outgrow your aquarium. Okay, so let's take our final commercial break of the night. When we come back, we'll talk more about river monsters and river giants with the owner of the River Giants Roaming Sanctuary located in the United Kingdom. We're back after our final commercial with our wonderful sponsors here on the Aquatic Wetline.
Cichlid Keepers is an online Facebook group page that is dedicated to cichlids. With over 16,000 members, we're the one and only original cichlid group page on Facebook. Do you keep cichlids? South American, African, or Central American? They're all welcomed here. Come join our group with plenty of other cichlid keepers so you can share your cichlids or chat cichlids. Enjoy the rest of the show and join our group, Cichlid Keepers, on Facebook.
Fish Friends and Tropical Fish is a proud supporter of the Aquatic Wetline Online Radio Show at Blog Talk Radio. Fish Friends and Tropical Fish is currently located in Ludlow, Massachusetts, where we offer everything from freshwater to saltwater fish. We specialize in freshwater angelfish, silver dollars, African cichlids, live corals, and much, much more. Come by to visit us today. Location is 246 East Street. Phone number 413-610-0700. William G. from YouTube channel had a proud Christmas thanks his dear friend Alex and Jane for his opportunity to create every day. Shout out by me, William G. Yes, it's true. I am a fellow YouTuber just like you. And my channel is about this fish. I am also the host of Raymond Chad, Aquatic Euphoria, where I talk about fish, all things fish, and everything fish. Aquatic Euphoria is Marks of Guy and Mr. Guy. And Mrs. Steve from Mrs. Steve's Up, who are other fellow YouTubers. So look about. I thank Alex and Jane once again. Thank you, sir.
Hikari offers a wide selection of aquatic diets to help you and your fishy friend find success. With more than 137 years of aquatic experience, Hikari was the originator of species-specific diets long before others thought it was important or trendy, and the first to bring unique products to fish keepers like algae wakers, the world's first diet specifically formulated for Picosinus, micropellets, the world's first micro-coated aquatic diet for tropical fish, Saki Hikari, the world's first probiotic-enhanced diet for koi, goldfish, cichlid, and now turtles, and Biopure, the world's cleanest and most nutrition-packed frozen and freeze-dried foods industry trendsetters when they were first introduced. When you're looking for the best aquatic diets your hard-earned money can buy for your aquatic pets, look no further than Hikari. Your fish and your wallet will be forever grateful.
You are tuned into the Aquatic Wetline Online Radio, hosted by fish keepers for fish keepers.
We're having a wonderful show here on the Aquatic Wetline tonight. We are with the owner of River Giants Rehoming Sanctuary from the United Kingdom, Mr. Nathan, and we're having a great show tonight. It's been an awesome show. I'm so glad I got this wonderful guest on the show from the United Kingdom. Matter of fact, he's actually our first guest from the United Kingdom. We're talking about monster fish, and everyone knows that I'm a huge fan of monster fish, as I discussed prior to the introduction of today's show. Now, monster fish have been in the hobby for quite a long time. Probably even before I was born, there were as many species of monster fish. Now, upon the technology age, a lot of information was not available for monster fish unless you were doing a lot of researching in the books. I know there's lots of freshwater fish keeping magazines out there. Even back in the dinosaur age, you can get a tropical fish hobbyist magazine, and they would have lots of monster fish pictures in there. So I think that's what sparked most of the monster fish keepers' love for getting monster fish. And definitely the most important thing to take away from today's show is to do research on getting monster fish, because the next thing you know, a couple months from now, you're going to have a monster catfish in your hands, or a monster fish in general, whether it be a red-tailed cat, a tiger shovel nose, paku, an arowana, an armor puma, whatever. Just do lots of research and make sure you have a giant, giant aquarium. Not even a 300-gallon tank is big enough for a red-tailed catfish. Literally, it's still off-grow a 300-gallon tank. They need zoo-sized aquariums. Is that not correct, Nathan?
It is, yeah. I mean, our smallest pond that we actually use to rehome is 3,000 gallons.
Wow.
So always make sure you do research. You know, the fish stores always, always bring in baby juvenile red-tailed cats. And yes, they do look very pretty and sexy when they are young, but they get huge. So it's always best to avoid buying a red-tailed catfish or a tiger shovel nose, or definitely a $2 paku. I always have to stop myself when I see a $2 paku, or now even a $5 red-tailed catfish. I have to stop myself, which is pretty sad that a 20-year-old man has to stop himself from buying a monster fish. But it's the truth. I'm really addicted to monster fish. Or maybe it's good luck that I'm into Oscars now, because they can't get too many tank mates with Oscars. Anyways, now the next thing I want to talk about on the show is actually, I just learned now that most of the red-tailed catfishes now and the tiger shovel noses are actually captive bred. What are your thoughts on that, Nathan?
Yeah, a lot of fish nowadays, whether it be freshwater or saltwater, are now captive bred, and I think it's good in some respects and it's bad in some respects, and at least with the arapaima now, I believe the arapaima is now on the endangered list. So, you know, there's a risk of overfishing in the industry to support the trade. So I think it's good that they're captive bred in some cases.
Yes, I definitely agree with you. And I was actually watching a couple of the new season's episodes of one of my personal favorite shows and my co-host James Jones' favorite show, River Monsters, and actually red-tailed cats were featured on many of this season's episodes, and I was just thinking to myself, well, people are going to be intrigued by these catfish, and you're going to have probably over close to 500 people, or maybe even 5,000 people, buying red-tailed catfish, because they're going to say, hey, I just saw that monster catfish on TV, now I want a red-tailed catfish. So that's definitely not a good way for the new fish keepers. What are your thoughts on that, Nathan?
Yeah, I totally see. I mean, I sit there and watch it, although we haven't actually got the latest series here in the UK being shown yet, but I still sit there and watch the show and think, oh, I'd love to have another one of those in the tank, or, you know, it does spark an interest, and The worrying thing is it sparks an interest in an experienced keeper. I think that's the main fear, really, with watching shows like that for inexperienced keepers. And you guys out there have a problem with snakeheads being released in the wild, do you?
Yeah, we had a big problem with that.
Yeah, I see so many people. Snakeheads in the UK are very, very popular. And unfortunately, they don't get released in the wild over here. And without us, you know, we don't know what happens to a lot of the fish, you know, that don't come to a rehoming sanctuary. And I know I keep seeing on certain fish shows that we watch on TV that snakeheads are a real problem over in the States.
Go ahead, Alex. They're actually very illegal up here because they've caused so much trouble up here in the United States. I remember watching my dad have a couple of snakeheads kill a couple of venison sharks, so they're actually pretty aggressive up here.
Yeah, there's a few fish, you know, that once they're released in the wild. I mean, we have got a list here in the UK of certain fish that you can't export in anymore because of the dangers of releasing into the wild here. One of my friends, actually, a few years ago, he kept a Wells catfish in his garden and posted on the internet that they wanted to get rid of it. And there was actually a sea life centre that called them up and said, no, we'll come and pick this up because we're not letting you release this into the wild, or we're not letting anybody else take the fish on.
Wow, that is very amazing that someone would actually even do that. But before we close, is there anything else that you wanted to get over to our listeners about anything with your programs, anything that's coming up?
If you're interested in River Giants and what we do, by all means, go ahead, log on to the website. If you need any more information or you want to just have a look around the Big Fish Campaign, the website for Big Fish Campaign is www.bigfishcampaign.org. It's got all the information on there about what they're all about. You can actually sponsor them. It shows all their support. And, you know, and share this information out with everybody, because without this information and creating awareness, some of these monsters might be gone from the local fish stores, and, you know, it could threaten the hobbyists. So if we all love our fish as we do and we want to keep homing these fish and have these fish around to see, then it's important that we create this awareness.
And that is so true. With more of awareness and more of an educational, it gives a lot of the hobbyists a lot of the information before they actually get into dealing with the species, because a lot of people don't know. A lot of people got to think that they don't want to go to Google, but Google is one of the best places to go to gain information if you're not one of those that like to go on to the forums or Facebook groups and ask your questions. But then I feel that if more knew about the species before they got it and knew how much money it will cost and the space it need, a lot of people would leave it alone. And with a program that you have like the River Giants, it allows us fish lovers to have a museum just like the Air and Space Museum and all the other types of museums that shows our great history, that we will be able to come to see some of these large animals and lose some of that itching feeling of wanting to go out there and actually purchase it when we can just come to your sanctuary and just hang out and look at them. So I love the idea. I'm glad that we have people such as yourself that are out here that actually give a damn, that actually care about the well-being of the fish. So it's lovely to see it. I thank you for it and wish you the most success.
Thank you ever so much. Yeah. It's strange that we don't see more people. I know it's expensive to set up, and especially for the people that are looking at buying the fish. You know, some of the fish can cost us, you know, in pounds, £100 just to feed the fish for a year, you know. So it is quite expensive to house these fish as well.
Well, I got to say, this was an awesome show, and I personally want to thank you for coming on to the Aquatic Wetland tonight, and I hope all of our listeners learned why you shouldn't get a monster fish unless you can house them. And I definitely want to thank Nathan for coming on to explain River Giants Rehoming Sanctuary to us. You did a wonderful job today, Nathan.
Thank you, and I want to thank you for inviting us on the show and letting us tell our story about what we're doing. And, you know, hopefully we'll have some more conversations and we can let everybody know, you know, the different stages that we're going through.
Sounds great, and I definitely want to support you all we can, so we will definitely make you an on-air commercial supporting you guys in the future, so that'll be wonderful as well. So thank you all for tuning in to tonight's wonderful episode of River Giants Rehoming Sanctuary. Please definitely check them out on their website and on their Facebook group, River Giants, and learn all about their awesome rehoming features that they have for these wonderful monster fish.